Welcome to Outspoken Voices, a podcast by and for lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, and queer parents, people with LGBTQ parents, future parents, and everyone else who is part of our family journeys. I'm your host, Emily McGranahan, and I am the Director of Family Engagement with Family Equality Council. I have three lesbian moms. My bio mom, Kathy, was with Grace when I was born, and they separated when I was four. For a while, I went to Grace's house every other weekend. Kathy met Nan a few years later, and they were together until I was 14. Kathy, Nan, and I lived together until I finished high school, and they actually continued to live in our house until they sold it just a few years ago. So that's a very concise way of sharing many, many years of love and sadness and forgiveness. It really glosses over how I started acting out after Grace moved out, or how loved I felt on my wedding day with my three moms there, or how we all celebrate holidays and our triumphs together, because we're all family. Divorce and separation with LGBTQ families is complicated and contains extra layers of bias and homophobia and transphobia, biphobia, and social expectations. So with me to unpack some of that from the Queerspawn perspective is Emily Harnett and Dori Kavanaugh. Dori Kavanaugh is a licensed clinical social worker in New Jersey. While training to become a social worker, she was the New York chapter coordinator of Collage for almost 5 years. She has done extensive research and clinical training within the LGBTQ community and is passionate about redefining family and complex family formations. Dori and her husband Jesse formed their family through both adoption and the birth of twins. Having a queer family helped Dori be open to redefining what family can be. Emily Harnett is a second-generation queerspawn who has two moms. Emily's moms used an anonymous sperm donor to create her. Her moms were together for 20 years, lived together, and got married before separating when Emily was 12. Emily is 20 years old and an acting major at Point Park University's Conservatory of Performing Arts. She has over 20 donor siblings and has found 8 of them over the past 11 years. Well, Dori and Emily, thank you so much for joining me.
Thanks for having us.
So glad to be here.
Thanks. So to start us off, Emily, would you tell us a little bit more about who is in your family and how your family was formed?
Yeah, so I have two moms. One is lesbian, one's bisexual. And they created me through donor insemination. And they were together for 8 years before making the decision to have me. And through, as I said, over the past 11 years, I have found a lot of my donor siblings through the donor sibling registry. And I have that kind of network, but I consider myself an only child, as I was raised by myself with like my moms in my household. And my mom separated when I was 12. So yeah.
Thanks. And Dori, who is in your family and how was it formed?
So in my family, it's interesting because now I'm in my late 30s. So I've had my own family in addition to the family I was raised in. So I kind of have this nice big family now, which I really appreciate and consider a part of my early story as well, like branching off of that. My mom and my dad were in a straight heteronormative marriage when they had me. And my mom really, really wanted a child. I was born in 1981. And at the time there were no there just weren't, you know, accessible methods for lesbian women to have children on their own. It also was an extremely different time. I think my mom at the time really thought that she could do it, that she could be in this marriage for in order to have a child. So they divorced eventually they separated when I was 6. They actually divorced when I was 10, but my mother's partner moved in with us. I was living with my mom and she moved in with us when I was 8 years old. So that happened. And then she also helped raise me. So it was my mom, her partner, who was a woman, my dad, who had moved out. And then now I have a husband, Jesse, and we have three daughters. And my husband identifies as straight. I identify as queer. And we all are just kind of a part of this big family now.
Well, thank you both for sharing. So when you talk about your family or tell people that you have LGBTQ parents, do you include divorce or separation as part of your story? I know that sometimes I'll just say like, yep, I have lesbian moms and just kind of leave it at that. Do you find yourself telling that full story often when you're explaining to people that you have LGBTQ parents?
Since when I was born, like I had my two moms and it was all about like my pride for having queer parents and what that really meant to me. So then once they separated, I kind of really did struggle with what is my queer spawn identity and how does my family still have these like queer roots and stuff when they're not together. So currently I've been coming to terms with being able to explain that a lot differently and a lot better to people. But I definitely just say like, oh, like, hi, I'm Emily. I have two moms. And I don't really get into the fact that they're separated. It just, unless it comes up in conversation or if I'm like talking about the different houses that I'll spend time at.
It's interesting because I feel like a big part of my story and my identifying as queer spawn is because of my mom and dad's divorce. So I pretty much will mention that every single time when I talk about my family or my story. When it comes to when my mom and her partner separated when I was in my early 20s, I mean, they were together another 15, almost, you know, actually more than that years. They shared a home. They had a lot of like legally binding things in their relationship, but this was before marriage equality. And they never had a domestic partnership or civil union, as New Jersey loves to call it. I never used the word divorce. I said they split up or they're not together anymore. The language was very different. But sometimes now I find myself just saying I've been through two divorces because both of those breakups had very similar impacts on my life.
Yeah, that is so real for me. In both cases, when I was 4 and then when I was 14, my parents were never in any, like, they never had a legally recognized relationship in any kind of way. So that didn't feel, especially when I was 14, that wasn't like a word I felt like I could use. I think I would often say like separated, but didn't say divorced, even though like that's what was happening. But it wasn't language because we didn't have that legal recognition. So I didn't use it. And I now, like, thinking back, I really wish that I had, because I don't think others understood then, like when I would talk about it. Dory or Emily, when you would share to people that your parents had divorced or separated, do you think using that language like made a difference in how others responded?
For me personally, I don't necessarily think that language made a difference in the people that I was talking to. Being the age that I was, it was my mom's being together was on like the forefront of being accepted socially a little bit more than like if they were to separate when I was younger. So being 12 and I'm 20 now, like I think using separated was not something that people really respected and could understand, especially since my moms don't live together and things like that. No.
Yeah, I feel like it depends on the audience, right? I mean, if I'm like speaking with both of you right now, having a similar shared experience as I do, it's easy to just use the term divorce and not feel like I have to explain further. Whereas if I were speaking to people that didn't really get our kinds of families, you know, I feel like they would get more into the logistics of what that might actually be defined as on paper and probably be like, oh, so they were married. And it's like, no, but pretty much everything, you know, aligned with what a marriage is defined by and when we were all living together, right? You know, I feel like it just kind of depends on what the audience is. Regardless, you know, I feel like when you can actually say the word divorce, for me, it feels like, okay, so this really impacts me, right? Like this had a deeper effect. Whereas if I just say like my mom had a girlfriend or a partner who helped raise me and then they separated, I don't know if others would fully grasp that it had such an impact on my identity, on of what my family was, and also on just the what the loss and the grief is that was involved in that breakup, as well as the one like similar to the one with my mom and my dad.
Yeah, that's a really good point. In my experience, it does seem that divorce has a connotation that means children and youth in that family are also impacted, whereas something like a breakup or they split or separation has more of a connotation of like two people in that relationship and like that's who it impacts. Whereas divorce, people kind of understand, oh, okay, like how are the kids doing? You know, like that becomes more of like a whole family situation as opposed to something like just between adults in a relationship. And I definitely missed that. When my parents were divorcing when I was 14, I had a good friend whose parents were also divorcing. And like she, you know, she was, I think, getting like a network of support that understood what divorce meant to children. And I think part of it was the language. That's a really good point. When my parents sat me down, like I still remember my parents sitting me down on the couch to tell me that they were, you know, breaking up, that they were separating. I was, you know, 14. And that summer, I think, was actually the first time that I had gone to Family Week in Provincetown. And I had then met all these other people with LGBTQ parents at Family Week and had now friends I could go on to AIM and like chat with constantly. So when they told me, their immediate response then afterwards was like, you know, we're going to give you space. Why don't you go upstairs and just like talk to your collage friends? Because those were other people who had experienced divorce in some way and also were queer spawn. And so could like understand in ways that like calling up some of my other friends maybe wouldn't. So did you seek out spaces of other people whose parents were divorced or other queer spawn, you know, sort of in those early days as you were sort of processing?
I looking back on everything, I really wish that I had. In third and fourth grade, I went to collage for like the first time. And I'd been going to Provincetown ever since I can remember. But that was the first time I really participated in like queer spawn activities. But once my parents told me that they were separating, I kind of didn't feel like valid in that kind of community, because I was like, oh wow, like my moms aren't together, I'm not this strong queer family. Or I mean, I still think my family is very strong, but like I didn't feel that my queer spawn identity was going to be taken as seriously. And so I actually took off many years of going to collage, and my first year back was not last summer, but the summer before. I did that and it completely changed my life. And being around those people and having some other people share similar stories meant so much. And I wasn't getting that for such a long period of time that I almost regret not just going back the next summer. And because it was always an option for me, like my moms were always like, we can bring you, like, we want you to have this. And I was like, no, like, I'm kind of ashamed. Yeah, I really wish that I had sought out that kind of community and the time of need that I was going through, like such a hard emotional time.
Yeah, definitely. So when my mom and my dad were getting a divorce, it was interesting timing in terms of what the elementary school I was going to started to provide in services. There was this group they called Banana Splits, and it was formed by like the school nurse and a consulting social worker who would come in and do these early morning groups for kids that had been going through issues of divorce, separation, or loss of a parent in some way. And I was like in the pilot group of that around the time my parents were going through their divorce. So that to me was super helpful, to have a space provided to me by my school that felt safe and confidential and really normalized what was starting to happen with me. I'm an only child also. I didn't have siblings with this shared experience. I didn't have anyone to really talk about. It was the late 80s, maybe 1990. I mean, I felt, you know, in my upper class, very white, affluent suburb of New York City, you know, like one of, like the only one at times. And I didn't see my family reflected. And then, so that was really helpful. There were no other kids in that group, however, saying, and then my mom's best friend, a woman, moved in just like me, right? So I was feeling really weird about that. I didn't really have the language for it. I didn't have the words for it. It was kind of, we kind of were just, you know, all, everyone and all parties involved in my family was just kind of like, okay, you could talk about the divorce in this group, but like, I feel like that, you know, the fact that mom might be coming out as lesbian, that's not a thing. We're not going to really acknowledge that just yet, right? And so we were really closeted growing up. It was really for inherent safety reasons. And I look back now and I get why we did what we had to do, but it was extremely difficult and completely changed my life in so many ways, having to be the bearer of that secret. You know, fast forward 15 plus years, and I feel like, okay, now I'm out of college and I've started to tell people, and I found Collage in 2005, and, you know, things are feeling really great and safe. And, you know, maybe it's kind of cool to have a gay mom and like her partner who helped raise me. And I was excited to start to share my story and feel like people were like, that's fine, that's normal. They were like splitting up. And at that time, I was then like, okay, I need to find another space, right? That was similar to what I had in elementary school, but that was just for those with one or more LGBT parent. I needed to know other people that were raised by gay parents. I needed to know other people that had a family like mine, where it's like, I need to feel like I exist in this world, right? Because without the words to describe what my mom's partner was to me, if they didn't have a legal marriage, you know, I felt lost in how to cope with the loss, I think, of what was happening, right? So when I went to my first family week as a counselor for the middle school group, and it was just so great for me. It was everything I needed for myself while I was also feeling like I was giving back to our community. Because, you know, in one of the first nights that we all came together, and we were playing I Love My Collager, I Love My Collager Who, we're in the circle, and somebody said, who has divorced parents? And literally, I think it was like 90% of us got up and rushed to switch seats. And that was, you know, we didn't even have to say, what kind of divorce? Are we talking legal? Are we talking this? It was just, we went through this, right? However we define it for ourselves. And it felt just so validating to see that other people had experienced this. So for me at that point in time, it was really important. And I think I started to seek out other people that had families like mine, specifically because I was like, I don't even know where to go right now. And I don't even know how to deal with like my mom and her partner breaking up, right? So that was really important for me.
Yeah. I really felt often that I couldn't, that I shouldn't talk about it outside of queer spawn spaces, because in my town, we were the only family that was out. My parents were divorcing when I was 14. That was the year that Massachusetts got marriage equality. So LGBTQ families and the validity of our families were big news and suddenly being talked about like in my classrooms. And meanwhile, you know, everyone's asking me, hey, are your parents going to get married now? And I had to say like, actually, they're getting divorced if that was allowed. You know, like if they had been able to get married, this would be a divorce time. So it was just like really complicated. And so I felt an additional pressure externally that, you know, our family, I needed to be, you know, that poster child syndrome. I needed to be perfect. Our family needed to be perfect. I needed to be this living proof that LGBTQ people can make good parents. And, you know, divorce already has stigmas attached to it. And I really believe that there was an additional layer then attached for LGBTQ people who, at the same time that we were fighting for marriage equality, you know, people were breaking up. People were getting divorced. Like that's people are human, you know, that was still happening. But there was this, I really felt this added layer of like, I shouldn't talk about it because, you know, I have to be, we have to be the shining example. I don't know if either of you ever felt that.
I mean, when you mentioned the, you know, kind of having to like keep the secret, I think that's what really strikes me. It was harder for me to find support just from anybody because for so many years I had to keep my family a secret, right? So it's like, if you're keeping your family a secret to begin with, what do you do when you actually need help with sorting out real issues if your family's breaking up, you know? And then it was like, okay, I'm really comfortable with my family and I love having my mom and her partner and I'm so out and proud of this now. And then they split up, right? So it's like, as soon as I started to become really comfortable with it and out about it, they broke up. So that was almost like a, are you really? Like, you made me keep this a secret for like, I don't even know how many years. I finally am like owning this identity. I love it. And you're breaking up. How do I go to everyone who's been so loving and accepting and tell them this, right? You know, I just, that was almost like a, you've got to be kidding moment for me.
My mom's actually got married in Provincetown, Massachusetts. And that was like the peak of what I thought my queer spawn identity was. I was like, yeah, like I'm the maid of honor. Like it's no big deal. And so I was really excited about this. And then when they told me that they were separating a couple years after, it was, how do I go from being so proud of something and so outspoken about something and like being this person who sticks up for so many different people in my school community. And now like my parents aren't even what I'm fighting for. And I think it really had me question like the, like love always wins kind of thing. And like, how do I fight for that when my moms aren't even together anymore?
If you're going to get marriage equality, like you're going to get divorce equality, you're going to get all the other messiness that comes with this.
I feel like queer separation and divorce kind of humanizes the fact that, you know, like queer people are just people too. And we deserve the same opportunity as everyone else. And that's the same opportunity to get separated and divorced, you know?
Yeah. And just because there is marriage equality, I think it's like putting more like heteronormative standards on queer couples, especially those that have children, where it's like, well, now you could get married, like as if that's what every single queer person has been waiting for, like for that to really define how great their relationship is. But I think it's also like remembering, okay, so this is now still an option, but not what we should consider something that's like, you know, what you should do, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I remember when I was like 16, so like 2 years later, finally working up the courage, and I was so nervous for some reason to say like, hey, you know, it's okay if you want to date somebody else. I kind of felt like I had never said that to them, and neither of them had dated anyone. And so I just wanted to share that. Like I was just working up the courage and was like, it's okay if you do want to start dating. After divorce, did your parents date or start new relationships? And what was that like for you?
Yeah. I mean, before my mom and dad were even divorced, my mom's partner was living with us, you know? And so I think my dad would tell his version of the story as, we got divorced because your mom is gay. Whereas I think my mom and I also would be like, that's definitely not the only reason. I mean, it's a huge one, but it is, you know, I don't think they would have stayed together. So my mom was with someone, you know, pretty much during the whole breakup, and that person, you know, went on to help raise me and live with us and be my mom's life partner until they broke up when I was 22 or 23 years old. Yeah, I mean, it was not easy. And you know what's interesting? I had the the reaction I had to my mom's partner moving in with us was the same that I've observed other people's reactions to a step-parent moving in with them, or being like, we're together now in straight relationships, where I just was like, I don't like you. You're trying to take my mom away. And that was like very much the 8 or 9 year old reaction that I experienced. And then I remember kind of feeling it again in my 20s. So I think it's important to note that, you know, divorce happens all the time, right? Across the lifespan for children. And I'm putting children in air quotes right now, because I think there's a lot of assumptions that like divorce happens when kids are kids, right? But divorce happens when kids are adults as well. And so when I went through the second divorce, it's almost like I was regressing again as a child. Like I was feeling like I was put in the middle between the two of them, and they were kind of like using me to get at each other, and I didn't really know what to do or how to handle it. And I felt like I had to throw like a temper tantrum at times, you know, like I feel like it's important to just acknowledge that all of those reactions are normal, and it doesn't matter how old you are at all.
So how has your parents getting divorced impacted your own view on marriage or monogamy or relationships? I don't know, Dori, maybe do you want to start, since you've been married for 10 years?
You know, it's funny. I read Joan Didion once. She described, and when she was getting married to her husband, you know, they didn't say it's not till death do us part. If we don't want to do this next week, that's okay too, right? And I think it was important for me to be with someone, but I did put extra pressure on myself to be like, I'm not going to be affected by all of the broken families I've been a part of. There was so much stigma I carried. I met Jesse. I knew I was going to fall in love with him, because on our first date, I coming out about my mom had turned into first date conversation at that point. And I remember saying, you know, I just want to let you know now, like, my mom's a lesbian. And he was like, okay. And every other person I had dated, it was some sort of reaction. And all I wanted was nothing. Because we always have to like explain, right? There are people out there that look at me and say, oh, well, Dori's a success story, because look at how she's in a healthy relationship and has these 3 kids. And after everything she's been through, right? But like, you don't really know what I've worked through or continue to work through. You just see what's on the surface. And let me tell you, with divorce, there's a lot that we hide right beneath the surface, right? That the kids hide, that the parents hide. It could go on for many years. So, you know, I think it did impact me, but there's still a lot of unresolved pain, I feel. You know, it's not something I grieve about constantly when it comes to the 2 divorces I experienced, but I do feel that at the end of the day, it's like, no matter how bad the relationships were, you wish they could have worked out, you know? I think so. For me, it's extra important to just make my marriage and that foundation a priority in my life, and also for my kids to really see what a true loving relationship is.
It's interesting that you had mentioned like the people describe you as like the success story, because success is then clearly defined as like a marriage.
Yeah, so you can find love within so many different aspects of your life, and it doesn't need to result in marriage. But that's just my outlook. But we will see as time progresses what kind of relationships I get into and things like that.
Yeah. Well, with just a few more minutes left, I have 2 sides of sort of the same coin of a question of, what do you wish more parents knew in order to support their queer spawn through divorce? And then sort of the other side of that is, what would you say to queer spawn listening?
I think what I would say to parents of queer spawn who are going through a divorce is just to really listen to your child and understand that the world is not necessarily equipped for the type of situation that you're going through. And it's important to be able to be there and hear that your child might not have the resources or understanding from their peers and community as someone going through a straight separation or divorce would. I think that's really important. And then also to a fellow queer spawn, like, it's going to be okay. And I know that sounds so like big and vague, but it really is. And there are resources of collage and people that are so here to listen to you. And while they might not be at your fingertips, just with a little bit of digging and a little bit of putting yourself out there, you can have this vast community that is here to support you and really care and love you. And also not to worry about what other people in your community and home might think about your parents, because your family is still your family no matter what. And if that results in divorce or separation, your moms or dads or trans parents, they're still yours. And I think that's something that I really would have appreciated hearing from a fellow queer spawn when I was 12 years old.
What you just said, Emily, if I were to add anything to what I would say to parents that are getting a divorce, I feel like I need to tell them, you have to love your kids more than you hate each other. You know, because we, as the kids, we feel it, we see it, we know it, even if it's all behind closed doors. And we are, you know, going through our own kind of pain and redefinition of the family, and it changes our stories, but they're still our stories. And so helping your child through it, you know, finding them a safe space where they can speak with others that have a similar shared experience, I think is just so, so important. And for queer spawn, I mean, I would definitely say what Emily said about how it's going to be okay and you're not alone. Really just want to back that up as a person who's been through this twice. And that it doesn't define the family, right? It's up to you to decide how you want to define your family, to share your story. Even without the defined language, it's completely up to you. You're the narrator of your story, right? And that there is a lot of help through, whether it's through individual therapy or group support, to help you get through that and own it, to come out on the other side. Because if there's anything that I know I've been through, it's looking at my family as like one of my biggest weaknesses. And then through meeting people with other shared experiences and becoming the true owner of my story, I realized it was actually one of my biggest strengths.
Fantastic. Thank you both so much. This has been a really, I mean, personally, I've really got a lot of this conversation, and I thank you. And I hope that anybody listening, whether their family is experiencing or has experienced divorce, or, you know others in their lives that they could all be supporting, you know, this hopefully will just be another step to, you know, knowing we're all not alone and sharing resources and, you know, language to support one another. And on the website, we'll have information about collage and other, you know, resources for LGBTQ families. And just Emily and Dori, thank you so much for being here. Thanks again for listening. If you enjoy Outspoken Voices, I have another podcast you should check out, Masculine Birth Ritual. It's a podcast about creating life outside the lines. Here's a peek.
You know, they're just prepared. They're prepared to stand up for their children. They're prepared to stand up for themselves. They're prepared to stand up for, like, you know, whatever they may face.
Masculine Birth Ritual is a podcast about masculine of center, queer and trans people making, birthing, and raising tiny humans.
You know, it was like one point where she was like, we need to kind of move the position of the baby. And so I need you to like, I had like my knees on the couch and my head on the ground. And she was like, I need you to stay there for 10 contractions. And I was like, okay, I'm going to stay here for 10 contractions.
Masculine Birth Ritual is a place for conversations about nurturing masculinities and building the world our communities deserve.
It can't be on the backs of masculine-centered trans people to have to transform the whole system. But the more these stories are told, the more folks talk about how they didn't seek care and they didn't feel comfortable and they didn't feel seen and heard, I think the system has to hear that.
I mean, it's hard for me to get past the beginning of the question of thinking 30 years from now where I'm like, well, first of all, it's really hot. I hope they're all okay. I hope they live in a moment where it just feels normal to try out different genders, and that's part of growing up. I feel like that we're having a little taste of that right now for certain people in certain places. There's a freedom that was unimaginable to me growing up. I hope that people that, you know, 30 years from now, that's that kind of exploration and creativity is celebrated and surrounded by ritual and celebration.
Head over to masculinebirthritual.com to listen and subscribe.
Again, thank you for joining us today. Please rate, review, and subscribe to Outspoken Voices. You can find Outspoken Voices on our website, SoundCloud, iTunes, Stitcher, and wherever you get your podcasts. You can find Family Equality Council at familyequality.org. and on Facebook and Instagram at Family Equality, and on Twitter at @family_equality. Until next time, remember that love, justice, family, and equality is what brings our families together.